All right, last week we started a new series called The Cross, and we talked about the different representation of the cross as opposed to just the physical aspect of it, which is an incredible and amazing thing in itself, but more what the cross really means. Last week was called Live to Die, meaning that we needed to find things in our life, and we all have things in our life that we need to die to, which was really the symbolic aspect of the cross when Jesus talked about take up your cross, and the things that we need to die to. And you know, with communion and things like that coming up, the real point of communion and things like that we do there, and especially this time, is to really evaluate ourselves and look at ourselves and see what in our life maybe we need to, quote, die to have a better relationship with God, or maybe just to have a better life in general. And today is called, last week was called Live to Die. This week's called Die to Live. And everybody, I think, in their life has something that they're scared of. When you look at the big picture of your life, is there something in your life that maybe you were scared of? I'll tell you one thing that I was scared of, sort of, when I looked at my life, is I was scared of my life being lame, like when I got older. Does that make any sense to anybody here? Well, like, you ever, like, meet somebody and you look at their life and you're like, dude, I don't end up like you. Did you ever think, I mean, let's be honest here. We've all looked at somebody and been like, yeah, I don't want to end up like that. You know, we've all sort of seen somebody like that. And it's funny because Christianity is really kind of the best possible way to live to avoid lameness, to avoid your life being lame. One easy thing you can do is to dive headfirst into your Christian life. It really can be. Do you guys, like, do you know or have you ever met somebody whose life is like, you know, they live such an adventurous life and just have like this whole sense of faith that you just like almost can't even explain and you don't even understand? Have you guys ever met somebody like that really in your life? I kind of did. And about 5 years ago, actually, one of my best buddies, his name's Scotty. And I remember looking at him. He completely quit his job. He was getting married. He quit his job. And just sort of on faith said, you know what, I feel like God's calling me into ministry, and I'm just going to go to school and do ministry. And I'm like, at the time, I'm looking at him, I'm like, dude, you're nuts. How are you going to pay for anything? How are you going to, I mean, there were so many factors in his life, and he was just like, look, God's going to take care of it. I know God's going to take care of it. And that did not make sense to me at all. I mean, it did, but it didn't. It's one thing to say, like, I trust God, and I know he's going to take care of me. It's quite something different to literally put that into practice. And literally just let go of everything that common sense tells us and go. And that's sort of what he did. And at the time, I was just like, dude, I think you're nuts. And it was so weird the way that God lined stuff up in his life. There was no doubt in his mind that God was calling him to go into ministry. And everything lined up. He bought a house. I don't know how. He furnished it. I don't know how. You know, he ended up getting through school. And he's not living in a box right now. I have no idea. Seriously, I do. God got him through it. It's exactly kind of what he said. God got him through it. And it was always in the way Scotty thought it would be. But God got him through it. And he surrendered to God. And it required him to commit to and follow through with what he said he was going to do. If we're going to surrender to God and we're going to surrender our lives to God, it's going to require us to commit. Going to require us to commit on a level that that puts into practice more than what we just believe. There's something in your gut. There's got to be. If you're a Christian and a follower of Christ, there's got to be something in your gut that tells you that there's more to this than just what I believe. There's more to this than just what I believe, and it's more about how we live. And it can seem very scary and very uncertain when we're diving into things. And please don't hear me say that I'm just saying be reckless and sell everything and, you know, God, that's not what I'm saying as we're going through this. God will take care of you. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like being on the path and knowing that you're exactly where God wants you to be. It is kind of a scary and uncertain feeling, and I can tell you from personal experience, because 5 years ago when I thought Scotty was nuts, 5 years later I ended up doing the exact same stinking thing. And here I stand, not living in a box. And God's taken care of me. It hasn't been an easy road. Not everything has been pie in the sky. And I don't want this lesson at all to come off like following God means that your life's just going to be awesome and amazing. It will be in certain aspects, and other aspects are going to be challenging. But there's nothing like being on the path that God wants you to be on. And our lives right now, kind of the way that we live right now, is it's always about the next big thing in our life. It's always about, okay, I got to get my driver's license, then I'm going to graduate, then I'm going to college, and then I'm getting a career, and I'm getting married and having a family. And we're always thinking about what the next thing is. That's what it's all about. It's all about pushing to the next thing and pushing to the next thing. And about, instead of looking at your lives right now and saying, what can I do with my life right now? And not looking ahead and saying, God might use me later. God can use you right now. God can use you right now in a big way. Let me take one side note for just a second, because I kind of want to tell everybody this. When it comes to a job and a career, you know, Scotty, when he decided to do that, that was something he was passionate about. A good piece of advice I was given about jobs, this really has nothing to do with Christianity per se, but it does have to do with this lesson in general. Don't ever get a job. Okay, here's what I mean. I have never worked a day in my life since I got out of college. I have worked what people would consider a job, but to me it didn't feel like work. What I'm doing right now, what I did when I was a Carter, it doesn't feel like work to me. I would do this for free if I could. I'm dead serious. Do something that you're passionate about, something that you love, something that's never going to feel like a job. And I promise you, if it's something you're passionate about and something that you love, the financial part will take care of itself. I promise. That's the best bit of advice I ever got. When I went to art school, I had some people tell me, you're never going to make any money, you're never going to blah, blah, blah. And I heard some things like that. And things were always taken care of. I'm telling you right now, the day that this feels like a job, I will quit. I promise you. The day that what I do for a living feels like a job, I will quit. That is just one of those philosophies in life that somebody told me. You want to have a more fulfilling life in terms of your job, in terms of what you do for a living? Make it something you're passionate about. Even if you're like, dude, I want to go to law school and I want to be, you know, if that's something you're passionate about, sweet, do it. And put everything into it. Put your whole heart into it. I was passionate about art, and I put everything into it. Don't go into a career that feels like a job. Okay? I felt like this was a good opportunity for me to tell you guys this, because it's just something that I truly believe in wholeheartedly. And instead of looking at our life with things that we've got to do as like a checkoff list, you know, I got to check this off and check that off, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then I'll let God use me. What if it was more about living in a way that nobody expected? More about living in the way that God wants you to live and following the way that he wants you to live, which is a way that nobody would expect you to live. 1 John 10:10, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the fullest. Have a full life. Jesus wants you to have a full life. He really does. He wants your life to be full and amazing and awesome. He wants your life to be that way. It doesn't always come out that way because we're stupid and we make dumb decisions and sin gets in the way. And sometimes we don't listen to him on things when we know that we should. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives with me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It says again, going to that principle of dying to ourselves, dying to those things that are holding us back from having the full life that God wants us to live. You might be looking at some things and going, well, but I really like that. But do you realize how much that might be holding you back? It really might be holding you back a ton. in Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I'm just kind of flying through some verses here. It says, We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I don't think we take this seriously in terms of the power that God's given us to die to sin. That's a big deal. And we don't really see that as a big deal. Hardly any of us see that as a big deal. We really do have the power to look at sin in our life and look at things that are holding us back and beat it down. We've got the power to do that. We just don't do it. Scientists say we're only using 10% of our brain or something like that. I think we're using like 10% of our spiritual power when it comes to dying to sin. There's so many things in our life that we have the power to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's kind of willpower in a way, but it's more than that because you're a child of God. You've got that little voice in your brain that's telling you, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? I think it's because we're not taking the power that we have seriously. We haven't sat down and decided, what are the things I need to die to? We haven't actually written that out and made that something that we've recognized. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Following Christ is not about following a predictable path. That's not at all what it's about. The disciples that were following Jesus had no idea where he was leading them. No clue. They were literally just wandering around. That was a literal sense of following Jesus and literally walking behind him. Living a life for him in this day and age, in some ways, is the same way. You might have no idea where he's leading you, but you can be confident that he's taking you somewhere that you can trust, that he's taking you somewhere that you know is going to not only give him glory in the end, but that he's not going to leave you hanging, that he's not going to leave you hanging there because he came to give you life to the fullest. This is about living a life that goes beyond expectations. And when we learning to die to ourselves is found when we sit at Jesus' feet. We learn from him how to live. This is a lifelong process. This is not something that we're going to fix in 1 week. This is not something that a 3-week series that I'm teaching on is going to fix right away. It's something you have to work at all the time. When I was 7 years old, I started in martial arts. I know I've told you guys that, I've talked about that a few times. My first class was actually right here. I remember it was like right over there, like right about where Brooke is sitting, is where kind of where it was. I'll never forget it because I walked in at 7 years old. I walk into this class and I come in these Karate Kid pajamas because I didn't have any like martial arts. I didn't have a gi or anything. And I'm in these like Karate Kid pajamas and it had a black belt on it and everything. I come in and I learned a form in my first day. And man, I went home and I just thought I was stinking Bruce Lee and that I was just going to beat the crap out of anybody, you know, and that nobody could touch me kind of thing. And turned out that I come back the next week, you know, and I'm looking at all these other people in class that are way, way, way more better than me, that have been doing this for a long, long time. And I do specifically remember sitting in class at the feet of my teacher, literally, like sitting down and watching him do a form and teach us how to do stuff and watching him and learning and just soaking it in. And it hit me at that point, seriously, it hit me at about age 8 or 9 when I'd been in for about a year, working for about a year, that, and I had only ranked once. I'd only moved up one belt in a year. And that's kind of when it hit me that this isn't something that, like, after 6 months, I'm going to have a black belt and be Jackie Chan running around, you know. This is a lifelong process. Martial arts, committing yourself to martial arts is, you have to commit all of yourself. I was going to class 3 days a week, 2 hours at a time, and it took a lot to do it. And after being in it for 12 years, I had to quit when I went to art school. After being in it 12 years, I was a green belt. I was good, okay? Don't get me wrong. I was good, but I was only a green belt. I needed two more to get the black after 12 years. That's a long time. My teacher was a fifth degree black belt. He'd been doing it 20 some years it took him to get his fifth degree black belt, at least. I was getting to that point, but just like in martial arts, you have to sit at the teacher's feet and watch and learn and watch and learn, and everybody learns at a different pace. I had people that started with me that actually were above me. There was a guy that was above me that started after me that was a brown belt. That bugged me a little bit, but he was better. You know, he was breaking like 6 bricks, 8 bricks. I was breaking 3. You know, so of course he should have a brown belt, you know. He was amazing. He put in way more time than I did. Way more time than I did. I don't even think he had a life outside of the school, to be quite honest. But that's why he ranked so high. That's why he ranked so quickly. In our spiritual life, do we take this book? Do we take what Jesus teaches us? And do we take it that seriously? Do we sit down a couple of times a week and learn? Do we sit at the feet of Jesus and see what in our life, where we need to get better? How can we get better? What's holding me back from getting better? I don't think we do that enough. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you have to surrender to daily. It's a daily thing that you have to do. Every day you have to look at it and say, what is maybe that one thing in my life? And maybe it's just one thing. Maybe it's one thing at a time. What is that one thing in my life that I need to die to? And I'm going to spend the next year making sure that I die to that thing. And I put that thing in the ground so far down, so deep, that I'm never going to dig it back up. What is that one thing? Maybe it's a couple of things. We weren't saved just from something, meaning from hell, from sin. Yes, we were. We were saved to something. We were saved to have a full life, to have a better life. We were saved to have the life that God wants us to have. We don't just die. We die to live. We die to live. We have to die to those things so that we can live a better life. Our life is going to be better if we find those things in our life that we need to just nail to the cross. So our connection point for this week is that the cross is where we come to live. The cross is where we come to live, where we come to nail to that thing the stuff that's keeping us down, the stuff that's holding us back. Everybody in this room has something. Everybody in here has something. Do you want a full life? Do you want a full life? Starting now, it doesn't have to start when you get out of college, starting right now. Start figuring out what you need to die to and give it to God. The cross is where we come to live. It's not necessarily where we die. It's where he died so that we can live.